We're beginning lesson number two on the course, the book of Zechariah. And if you have your course outline, lesson number two, again, we'll have a little bit of an introduction. And then number two, we'll cover the identification of personalities. And under that, we'll look at the horses, the rider, and the angel of the Lord. So as we begin in chapter one of the book of Zechariah, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 17. Let's read down in the book of Zechariah, verses 7 through 17. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Bechaniah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, that he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were there red horses speckled in white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered, and the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees, and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion, and with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. In the first six verses of Zechariah chapter 1, a call to repentance, followed by a series of visions that run through chapter 6. It is interesting to note that Zechariah's vision came on the 24th day, and we see that of the 11th month in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 7. We just read that. 2 months before Haggai preached his last message, in Haggai chapter 2, verses 10 and 20, and 5 months before the work on the temple had begun, in Haggai chapter 1, verse 15. All of this happened on the 24th day of the month. 24 in the Bible expresses in a higher form the same significance as the number 12. It is a number associated with the heavenly government and worship, of which the earthly form in Israel was only a copy. We see in the scriptures that 24 bullocks were offered as a peace offering at the dedication of the brazen altar of the tabernacle, in Numbers chapter 7, verse 88. And 24,000 Levites were required to set forward the mark of the temple, and 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse number 4. Now we want to look at the identification of the personalities. First of all, the red horse. The red horse. And we see the red horse mentioned in verse number 8 of Zechariah chapter 1. The obvious cross-reference to this horse is in Revelations chapter 6, verse 4. Let's turn there, the Revelations chapter 6, verse 4. In Revelations chapter 6, verse 4, we read, "And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." This passage is representative of the war and bloodshed that follows the false peace of the rider on the white horse. In Revelations chapter 6, verse 2, we read, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." The red horses of Zechariah chapter 6 are cloaked in more mystery than the rest of the horses in the chapter. And of course, Mr. X, which is the Antichrist, has always been a mystery man. Also in verse 8, we see a speckled horse. A speckled horse is known today as an Appaloosa. Most Appaloosas are spotted only on the rear flanks. However, there is one particular kind that is spotted all over and is known as a leopard Appaloosa. The leopard Appaloosa comes in basic three colors: white, yellow, black. Spots, whenever they are found in the Bible, always indicate something bad. They never indicate anything good. Look, for example, in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 with me. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 27, Paul's writing about the church. Ephesians 5:27, "that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot." Also we see in the book of Jude, verses 12 and 23, "These are the spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carrying about of winds. Trees whose fruit withered without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." Also in verse 23 of the book of Jude, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." The prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13 with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopards his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil." 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter with me. 2 Peter with me, please. The book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, in verse number 13. 2 Peter 2:13. "And shall receive the reward of the unrighteous as they count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." And then finally in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32 with me. Deuteronomy 32 in verse number 5. Deuteronomy 32, 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. So we see then that spots, wherever they're found in the Bible, are always indicated something bad, and nothing, never anything, indicate anything good. Amen. So then we see the speckled horse. Again, we're in lesson number 2, and on our outline, we're identification of the personalities, the horses. We've looked at the red horse, the speckled, and now the white. In verse, a white horse is also mentioned in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8. And we know Jesus Christ will return on a white horse in Revelation 19, but the Antichrist will precede him on a white horse as an imitation in Revelation chapter 6, verse number 2. The rider. We want to look at the rider now. We're looking at the identifications of personalities. We're looking at the rider. It's difficult to arrive at any other conclusions when these three colors are together, but the rider is the Antichrist. Consider the following. There are many with him who walk to and fro through the earth. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 1. Job, chapter 1. In Job, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Amen. And of course, we know the sons of God are fallen angels that came in Genesis chapter 6 and cohabitated with the daughters of men. Amen. Job chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Also, we want to consider a false peace is established. A false peace is established. And we turn back to Zechariah, chapter number 1 and verse 11. Zechariah 1:11. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Also in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 15, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease, for I was but a little displeased, and they help forward the affliction. We see the false peace that's going to be established on this earth by the Antichrist. Not only mentioned here as a reference in Zechariah chapter 1, but also we go back to Revelation chapter 6 in verse number 2. And again, we see some horses. Verse 6 of Revelation, verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And then as we turn also to the prophet Daniel with me, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Another reference to the Antichrist. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblations to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So we see a false peace is going to be established by the Antichrist. He's going to sign a peace treaty for 7 years, and then in the midst of it, 3.5 years, he's going to break it. Amen. And of course, the 7-year period is a reference to the tribulation. As we're considering the rider, we're considering some things. Thirdly, we want to consider the struggle represented is over Jerusalem, which is the center of the kingdom of heaven. And we see this as we go back to Zechariah with me, Zechariah chapter 1, verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70? In 10 years. And of course it's talking about the Babylonian captivity, the 70 years of 70 years. Now, we want to look at, lastly in lesson number 2, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord. And we see the angel of the Lord mentioned in verses 11 and 12. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and at rest. But then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and are the cities of Judah against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? The angel of the Lord seems to be the same personality that is speaking to Zechariah in verse 9 of Zechariah chapter 1. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. In verse 12 of Zechariah 1, which I just read, the angel of the Lord has a conversation with the Lord of hosts. And in turn, the angel of the Lord talks with Zechariah in verse 13. We read in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 13, And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. The angel of the Lord, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the angel of the Lord. In fact, before I do that, I want to recommend a book entitled The Angel of the Lord. The Angel of the Lord, and it's written by Lawrence M. Vance. And it's a book of approximately 110 pages, but it's a definitive work on the angel of the Lord, and it goes through and it looks at where the angel of the Lord is mentioned in the scriptures, and I recommend it highly. If you want to learn more about the angel of the Lord, again, The Angel of the Lord by Lawrence M. Vance. Excellent book. Now, the angel of the Lord. Now, we see him appearing many times in the scriptures. The angel of the Lord, it's the same angel of the Lord here and Zechariah, who appears to Hagar. And of course, remember Hagar from the book of Genesis. She was the handmaiden to the wife of Abraham's, Sarah. And we know that Sarah and Abraham had a lapse of faith there, and Sarah instructed Abraham. Abraham went along with it to go into her handmaiden Hagar so he could have a child instead of waiting on the Lord. And the Lord said that Abraham would have a child of his own seed from Sarah. So they went in, and of course we know as a result, Ishmael was born. And of course, we know that two women in a household can cause problems, and we see in Genesis chapter 6 how Sarah gets very upset, amen, even though part of it was her own fault. In Genesis chapter 6, and Hagar is cast out, and we read in, she's out there in the desert, in Genesis chapter 16, we pick up in verse 6 of Genesis 16, "But Abraham said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand, do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face." In verse 7, here we are. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence cometh thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai." So it's the same angel of the Lord that appears here in the first chapter of Zechariah that appeared to Hagar. Now this angel of the Lord who appears to Hagar is given divine titles. We see that in Exodus chapter 3. In verse number 14. Exodus 3:14. And first let's go to verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with the fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses in verse 3 said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And of course we see in verse 14 of Exodus 3, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. So we see the angel of the Lord is given divine titles. He's also given a divine authority in Acts chapter 27. This angel of the Lord is also given divine power in Judges 13 in the dealing with Samson's parents. Amen. We know that the angel of the Lord appeared to them. This angel of the Lord is also given divine commissions in Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And is said to be Paul's master, to whom he belongs, in Exodus chapter 27, 23. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 27 with me. Exodus 27, 23. course, in Exodus chapter 27, we see the ship that the Apostle Paul is on is in dire straits. It's ready to go down, and of course, this angel of the Lord appears to Paul. But he says in Acts chapter 27, verse 23, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whom I am and whom I serve." And of course, the angel of God said that all the men with Paul would be fine, the ship would be lost, but lives would not be lost. Now, the angel of the Lord clearly then is the Lord Jesus Christ in an extra bodily appearance. And this is called a theophany by theologians. And whether the article appears or not, the context will show whether or not it is an angel, like Revelations 14:6, one of a number. Let's turn to Revelations 14 and we'll make the comparison here. Revelations chapter 14, verse number 6. "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people." So we hear clearly this is an angel, but not the angel of the Lord. It's an angel, one of a number. And then we see in Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, we see the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation 10, verses 1 to 3. We see that he's going to make a mid-tribulation appearance. "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book opened, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." So we here see clearly that this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, I want to recommend that book, The Angel of the Lord, by Lawrence M. Vance, if you want to do a individual in-depth study on the angel of the Lord. It will be a help and a blessing to you. So we see then, we've covered lesson number 2. We looked a little bit at the introduction. We looked at the identification of personalities, the red horse, the speckled, the white, the rider, and then the angel of the Lord. Now we want to turn our attention to lesson number 3. Lesson number 3. Lesson number 3 with me. All right, lesson number 3, we look on our outline, we're going to look at the four horns. And then under that, we'll see the horns are a symbol of power and the authority of nations. We'll identify the four horns. We'll look at a little bit at the four carpenters. We want to look, turn back to Zechariah chapter 1 with me. Zechariah 1. And we want to read verses 18 through 21, the end of chapter of Zechariah. "Then lifted I up mine eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord shewed me the four carpenters. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head, but these are come to fray them, to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it." Our last study in lesson 2 identified the riders of the horses and establish the dispensational setting of the vision as the tribulation. The vision that we just read in verses 18 to 21 seemed to be an extension of the first. So there is no real reason to think that the timetable is any different. Now let's look at the four horns. The four horns with me. Horns are a symbol of power and the authority of nations. I want us to look at some verses of scripture that talk about the horns. First of all, in Jeremiah chapter 48 and verse 25, the Bible says, "The horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord." We see in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 3, "He hath cut off in his fierce anger all the horns of Israel." So we see with Moab and Israel in these verses of scripture that God cuts off the horn, thereby taking away their power. Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 8. "I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the four first horns, plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking great things." And then we read in the book of Daniel as we continue, in Daniel chapter number 8, in verses 21 to 22, we read, "And the rough goat is the king of Grisha, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." We see in Revelation chapter 13, verse number 1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and his horns ten crowns upon his heads, the name Blasphemy." And then we read in Revelation 17:12, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Now we want to identify the four horns. Identity of the four horns with the background knowledge of the meaning of the horns and the word Gentiles appearing in the text. The only conclusion is that the four horns represent the four major nations of the times of the Gentiles. Daniel chapter 2 identifies these nations as Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, and the revived Roman Empire, which is an extension of the fourth. All commentators agree that the beast of Daniel 7 relate to and is associated with the image of Daniel 2. The only difficulty that is presented is, in what order do they relate? Most line up the lion with Babylon, and then go straight down in chronological order. The problem then is, which one do you leave out? For there are only four beasts in Daniel 7, but five parts of the beast in Daniel 2. We need to keep in mind that Daniel 7 takes place at the conclusion of the Babylonian Empire, and the visions are future in consideration. Daniel chapter 7, verse 17. Therefore, the proper order would be to align them with Persia and then start downward. There seems to be a double application given to each one of the beasts that would extend into the church age. Notice the vision is seen by night, which is a picture of the church age. Now let's look at the first one, the lion. The lion. Daniel chapter 7, verse 4. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Well, this is Persia, England. A lion with wings in England is called a griffin. It appears on England's coat of arms, Richard the Lionhearted. There have been only two decrees from kings in history for the Jews to return to Palestine. Once, in 536 BC, by Sirius of Persia, and in 1918 AD by England, the Balfour Declaration. The lion was very impressive and powerful, but it lost its power. The wings were plucked. The bear, Greece, Russia. The Russian alphabet in Greek, the church in Russia is still Orthodox. Both countries are characterized by promoting an atheistic philosophy. The three ribs would picture the crushing of three countries. Official Greek. The leopard, Roman United States. If this is the case, the U.S. would be an extension of Rome. Now let me see, was it the St. Mary that discovered America? Our leopard is an integrated animal. His basic color is yellow and brown, which would represent Shem. His belly is white, Japheth. And his spots are black, Ham. Because the body has four heads, it would appear to have four additional appendages to the main body. Two states have been added to the main body. However, they are separate. Can we look for two more? That would total 52 or 14 times 13. Notice the leopard has wings of a fowl, chicken perhaps. Korea, Vietnam, Pueblo incidents, to name a few. The beast, number four. The beast seems to be a combination of all of the above. Let's look in Revelations chapter 13 with me. Revelations chapter 13. Revelations chapter 13 and verses 1 and 2. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise out of the sea having seven heads as ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Look with me in the prophet Hosea. The prophet Hosea with me. Hosea. Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13 with me. Verse number 7. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion and as a leopard. By the way will I observe them. The last beast will then be an integrated power, move in dominion like a bear and speak English. The ten horns parallel the ten toes of Daniel and the horns of Revelation 17. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 17 and verses 10 to 12. And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh he must continue a short space, and the beast that was is not, even he is the eighth, and he is of the seven, and goeth into perdition, and the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as the king 1 hour with the beast. Keep in mind, we want to keep in mind that Babylon shows up again in Revelation 17 and 18. And we see in chapter 17 in Revelation, verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Then we see in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, in the hold of every foul spirit, in a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through abundance of her delicacies. So we see then that Babylon shows up again in Revelation chapter 17. In verse number 18. So far in lesson number 3, we've looked at the horns, the four horns. We know horns are a symbol of power and authority of nations, and we identified the four horns as the four Gentile nations during the times of the Gentile, the lion, Persia, England, the bear, Greece, Russia, the leopard, Roman, United States, the beast seems to be a combination of all of the above. Now, the last point that we want to look at lesson number 3 is the identification, or we want to look at the four carpenters. And we see that carpenters usually build and not tear down, and we know in the scriptures that Christ is a builder. And we're going to stop here, and we'll finish up a lesson number 3 by looking at the four